is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, 30th of April, with me, Paul Andrews, and my lovely co-host, Miss On a Bike.
Hello.
All right. You nearly got left behind there.
Wow, do you know what? I've been following, you know, we're talking about social media and you were just talking about Instagram, and I've started following, I love them, and I came across them, and I'm trying to get them on my radio show. If I told you, I've got a radio show, it's called Conversation on a Wednesday.
Have you?
On channelradio.co.uk, Studio 2, from 1 till 2. Anyway, I like to know, and you can probably tell by our style, you and I, the way we interview people, I like to know why you do what you do. I'm curious about you. And there's this lovely man on Instagram. He's got this great story, and you might have heard of him, called One Bike, One World. He's on Instagram. Go check him out. He's Scottish, which always makes me laugh because I can never understand them, which is very funny.
Scottish?
No,
Scottish, is it?
It's very funny. Yeah. And anyway, so he's decided to ride around the world on a bike. And while he's in Europe, he is riding up this hill and this little kitten cries out. And now he's traveling with this kitten called Nala, N-A-L-A. He is smashing it on Instagram. And you know, we were just talking about your beagle, and it was one of the... So it's really interesting. And that's what I was doing. I was just looking at One Bike, One World.
I say, do you know what?
I say.
I've got an Instagram account. And I'm a maniac with social media, with Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. I just can't get to grips with Instagram. I can't work it out. I don't know what you're supposed to, because my strategy with all the rest of my social media is to draw traffic to my website and to my blogs.
Yeah.
You can't really do that with Instagram.
Doesn't work that way with Instagram.
No. So for me, it's useless.
The thing is, it's not going to ever drive traffic to the website because you can't even put a link really on only in your bio. But by having a lot of interaction on it, it still boosts your rankings in Google with that platform.
Right. But you've got to play on the platform how it was built.
No.
And it wasn't built for you to take people to your website.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm fully aware of that, which is why it doesn't bother me. But this is the, everybody keeps going, oh, you ought to be more active on Instagram. I go, why? It doesn't do anything for me. Yeah.
It's overtaking Facebook right now. Sign-ups per day.
I must admit, I'm not a fan of Facebook.
I have Facebook. It's terrible. Yeah. Like, sorry, Facebook, but your business page is...
It's awful, isn't it?
Somebody did a survey recently where to hide a dead body. Yeah. I'm really sorry, I don't remember who you are. I saw you on Twitter, but it was amazing. So get in touch if it was you. Where to hide a dead body on Google.
Yeah.
LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook business page. I think there was one or your website. And Facebook business page came up that you could safely hide a dead body there and nobody will find you.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard something from another social media expert who said that inside 2 years, Facebook will actually close down business pages because there are so many people seeing them as ineffective. Yes. Effectively, people won't be buying their advertising that way anymore.
Yeah.
They have to find another model to sell their advertising. Yeah.
But then they own Instagram, so...
They do own Instagram, and they make it a cloth. And by then, they'll have bought something else, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's frustrating, these kind of platforms, but the people that own them own the platform, and it's... You know, they can do what they want. You know, it's their platform. They can ban you if they want. They can not promote you if they want. They can have their algorithm if you want. And we forget that sometimes because so many people are on Twitter and Facebook, especially, you think it's like a utility. It's like, you know, having the right to go down to the supermarket and buy food or something. But they're privately owned platforms that can
free.
And they're free. You don't pay for them.
Yeah. And yet you still think you shouldn't have to pay for attention.
Yeah,
exactly.
But yet you would go to any other advertising and pay for it.
And I want to get your view on this because I've thought about
now
this
you're
so
wiggling
many times.
Your finger.
Yeah, my finger's out again.
Now it's loaded.
And it's loaded, yeah. And I have a similar view to email, but I know you'll tell me, email already does that, but not very well. I can't see why nobody, now that we're used to social media platforms and we know what we're going to get and we know how useful they can be and we all moan about the same thing, I'm really surprised nobody's launched a social media platform that just has a membership fee. that says, you know, do you want to avoid trolls? Do you want to avoid people that are anonymous? Do you want to know who, you know, well, whatever way you set it up, here's a social media platform that costs 20 quid a year to join, but we'll manage all of that so it doesn't happen on there. And I'm really surprised no one set that up. And I just wonder what your views on, if you saw something like that, where you think that was a useful thing or not.
As business platforms, which is what they are at the end of the day, they probably make more money for the paid advertising for the Google Analytics side. And we all know how that's gone for Facebook, but they were paid a lot of money.
Mm.
So I think they would lose money by charging people a membership, and that's why they don't do it.
Yeah,
that's what they're in the game for at the end of the day.
Yeah,
so
I
would pay that. But as a business and a marketer, that would be disastrous for me.
I think from an entrepreneurial point of view, which I think is where you may be coming from, you know, if it doesn't exist and there's a market opportunity, is someone going to create it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the trouble is you've got moguls, you've got giant moguls called Facebook, you know, and Google and Apple. It's not in their interest to let people take their business away.
But it will happen. It will happen. There'll be a new platform.
They will either kill the competition by buying it, which is what's happened in many number of times so far. You know, people have got great ideas, develop them, and then the moguls buy it back.
Yeah.
You've got to have one that will carry on developing and has some kind of autonomy. How the hell you achieve that, I don't know. But as an entrepreneurial thought, it's an idea.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? How, you know, if you look, I made a comment a while back that it won't be long before Google actually just buys a couple of countries. Because it'll be easier. Yeah, because I don't know if you know that Google is valued more than Western Europe. Yeah.
Yes, it's
valued at $4 trillion. And, you know, they could afford to buy Greece, basically.
But you look at Instagram, say, for example. So Kevin Systrom, who co-founded the company, he sold out to Facebook. So he sold the company to Facebook. They had 50 million, because I've just been listening to a podcast with him, they had 50 million subscribers at that point. He stayed on for 6 more years with Facebook owning it, and they went to over a billion. So the company became greater because of that investment. And that's just a really nice model. Now, that's not to say that happens throughout, but that happened for Instagram, you know?
This morning, Spotify, I don't know if you saw it, Spotify announced that they had just reached 100 million premium
premium users.
Now, we also are missing something here, and that's the demographic on these platforms, because it's generally not our age group is the biggest demographic.
She can talk.
I know. it's not. It will be younger, certainly. I know my son's age, like it's school kids. They are massively on social media, and they do hold that demographic, so they're not going to pay a membership for it.
Absolutely.
So that's where these places like Facebook rely on the business people to pay for the ads to subsidize this free platform.
I think we should all play with it as well. I'll tell you who's really great. Snapchat. Yeah. Snapchat. Now, I know we don't all like Snapchat. I love it. It's got great filters.
I love the filters.
You know, one of the best people on Snapchat, and I've said this time and time again, and we'll watch him, and he's smashing it, Philip Schofield.
Really?
Smashing it on Snapchat. Now, why is he there?
He's even older than me.
Exactly. So I think we could all use this. It's not our, it's not our arena. It's just attention. It's just getting that name out there so people go, oh my God, you're that person.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it is.
It is, it's true. But coming back to the conversation we had earlier, from a business point of view, you have to know your demographic.
Yeah.
And it's okay standing up and going, look at me, look at me, look at me, and having a million people look at you. But out of all those people, who's going to buy your products or services? You know,
but it's both, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's both.
Yeah, it is.
It's
playing
with one,
knowing
that it's not going to bring you any revenue.
That's true.
But actually, that might be in 10 years' time down the line.
Yeah.
You know, that actually I'm already known on there. God, they've seen me doing that. Oh, now they're able to come with me on a pathway.
We've already seen that as a phenomena where celebrity
Kylie Jenner
is its own thing. And we now have social media celebrities. You know, you have Instagram account. You know, we have Instagrammers and YouTubers, people that, you know, are just famous for being famous. Yeah. It's crazy,
that's,
really.
That's me.
You're famous for being famous.
Thank you. Living the dream.
Fantastic. Look, we've got some more emails and tweets to read out, and we've got another great guest to talk to, so we need to crack on with the show. What you got, Bert?
Well, I've got another gift from the most amazing gift woman ever I've ever met in my life, and that's Venues and Events Expo, and it says, "Hi, Vanilla Web and Bird and a Bike. Please give us a shout-out. Just 9 more sleeps until we open the doors to the second annual Expo 19. So it's hashtag the Expo 19. Registration is free for a full day of meeting amazing venues and suppliers for events. And you need to go to www.worldwideweb, which is venueseventsexpo.co.uk.
We have got an email about all the details of that.
I'm going to say it in a minute. Or do you want me to do it now?
Yeah, let's do it now.
That would be really professional, wouldn't it? It'll
make it look like we produced the show.
Oh, my days. Seamless.
Yeah.
Conduit right the way through. So this is Venues and Events Expo South East, and this is at Kent Event Centre, Thursday the 9th of May, and that's 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. And as Amanda quite rightly said, you've got 9 sleeps until this. So are you looking for a great venue for your next meeting, event, away day, summer party or team building event? Then you need to join Venues and Events Expo South East. This is a one-day exhibition with over 80 fabulous venues and event suppliers from throughout southeast of England, London and beyond. They have a variety of talks, industry experts covering mental health and well-being, sustainability, social media, speakers and event tech, plus some fun and informative workshops. Now, the seminars are with CEO Mike Piddock from Glissa. And I'm not going to go into what it is, but they'll be talking about the best audience engagement. And you've got the founder of the Great British Speakers, Jane Farnham. She's choosing the best speakers for your events. You've got Google partner and founder of AM Marketing, which is Amy McManus. And she's going to be talking about how do I get people to my event? And CEO of Maximum Media, which is Ben Abbott. And he's talking about the importance of good social media coverage before, during and after your events. You've got workshops. I mean, it's a great event. If you want to find out more or book your free place, as we've just said, it's www.venueseventsexpo.co.uk.
We'll be there.
We will. And also, there'll be gift galore.
There will. Yeah.
I think we've got a competition on the go.
It's going to be great. It was the first one last year, wasn't it? And it was a really good event. It's going to be bigger and better this year, and we're looking forward to it.
We had an MC off, didn't we?
We did, yeah. I won.
He was on one MC, and I'm on the other.
Yeah.
I won.
You did the silent seminars, didn't you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was deadly.
It was quiet up early.
It was like that.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think we'll talk to Terry. What do you reckon?
Nice.
Yeah? Should we talk to Terry?
He's very famous on Twitter.
He is.
He's got one of the best Twitter accounts. We always say it and we always giggle and laugh.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Well, there are two Twitter handles of people that I know very well that are the most glorious Twitter handles. One of them is Imperious Blablinky. Yeah.
Blablinky.
But my favourite of all time is Mr. Botfield here with TD Botty.
It's genius. By the way, did you know that you were this genius at Twitter handles, Mr. Botty?
Should I answer that question truthfully?
Please do.
No idea. It just came up.
Really? You didn't choose it on purpose?
I didn't choose it. I'll be quite honest. Whoa. Even as a business mentor, I didn't choose it. No, it came up, and it seems to get a reaction most times.
Grabs our attention.
Yeah, it does generally. Yeah, it's good.
So, Terry, welcome to the show.
No,
you have been on before, I know, quite a while ago, and you've also been on our sister show, The Bunker Extra Show. But you're doing quite a few things these days, and we need to keep a handle on what you're up to, and we need to find out what you're doing, because you're doing some interesting stuff. So I'll leave it to you to tell us where you want to start with the various things that you do. But you've kind of got your fingers in 3, maybe 4 pies that we want to discuss today. So you kick off with the one that you want to tell us about first.
Okay, maybe it's worth just doing a couple of minutes on what the hell I do.
Yeah.
Now, if I actually recognise what I do, to be honest, because it takes you over on occasions. I am a couple of years ago, when I wasn't very well, I actually sat down and I had a complete rethink, and I couldn't walk around for nearly 4 months, and thought, what the hell are you doing? And I'd recommend anybody to do that, by the way. Whether you've got a business or life, doesn't matter. And basically I decided I wanted to spend a third of my time walking the dog going on cruises, which, by the way, I'm a converted cruiser. Right. By the way, the dog does have short, hairy legs. The beagle.
Cool, that's
does,
good.
And
it's my twin.
The third of the, actually, I thought it was Paul's legs. That's why I sent a tweet in last night saying which one he radical early with the hairy legs, but by and by. But the third of the time I sort of do that. Third of the time I volunteer, and I'll come on to that in a minute, with charity engagement and things. And third of the time I run a small business mentoring and a networking group. I think I might start with the charity, because when we're on the extra show, we didn't have a chance to get through to the charity.
Right.
The base of most of this operation is in an area of Kent called Romney Marsh, which is, for those who haven't got the geography, roughly starts around Rye, East Sussex, goes up to Tenden and across to Ashford, comes down to Folkestone. It's that bit on the bottom.
I can tell you a fact. I can tell you an interesting fact about Romney Marsh that not many people know. Okay. Romney Marsh has the only official desert in Europe.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the desert?
Where is it?
It's Dungeness. Dungeness is officially... Yes. The landscape there is officially a desert.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's the only desert in Western Europe.
And it's very, very windy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you.
Depends on the time of year, but you're right, it can be extremely windy. Anyway, so basically, we sort of looked at that, and I thought, what am I going to do then? And the first thing I wanted to do is go networking. Because I've been used to going a lot of business networking, having been on the Chamber of Commerce board and various other things. And I thought, I'll just go and to get engaging with small businesses. I moved down there about 3.5 years ago. And I couldn't find a networking group anywhere. I've got to go to Ashford or across to, but it's not much in Rye either, and a crawl across to Folkestone, and that was about it. So I thought, where am I going to engage? There's supposed to be 700 businesses down here, believe it or not. It's actually about 625, if you want to be accurate. So I said, okay, we'll start one then. Everyone said, nah, it's been tried before, won't work. So actually, someone called Zoe Cairns, sorry to mention that again, Zoe said to me, and Gareth said, well, look, what you need to do is find 5 key influencers and plan out how you're going to launch this thing. So I nicked the business model from a group I was in Rye, and they were quite happy to let me borrow it, and found 5 key influencers. One of them sitting across the desk there, Mr. Andrews, and I thank for his support for the Marsh Network. A number of others, Zoe and Gareth supported it, and the local newspaper, and so on. But long story short, we launched it 12 months last October. It was only supposed to last 3 months. Everyone told me it'd be dead by now. It's now got a coffee morning, which is getting over 20 people attending. It's now got a sort of 20 to 30 people turn up for a... Sorry, that was the breakfast. I apologise. The other one is a coffee morning, which runs every 4 weeks. That's got between 20 and 30 businesses. And incredibly, people are travelling from East Sussex. They're travelling from Ashford. They're travelling from across Deal, even. Someone comes from Deal. And they're engaging with the local businesses. So what we're getting is a spread, an engagement of expertise. Then people are into trading. But the philosophy is all about mutual support and collaboration. Don't expect to come down. If you want to come, folks, don't expect to come down and sell something on your first visit unless you're very lucky. Networking doesn't do that kind of thing. But if you want to come down and build relationships in a new marketplace where people are really supportive of each other, you need to go to, and I'm going to plug it, to www.marshnetwork.co.uk. Thank you to one of our members who's put that up for nothing for us, because that's the way we work together. And that's a free of charge. You'll see all the events there. And for a fiver for the coffee morning only, you will also be making a contribution to a charity called Calm, because that's one of the things we wanted to do, is contribute to charity through the group. Calm is an organisation that supports the over 55s that are living in isolation around the Romney Marsh area.
Whippersnappers.
Yeah, these whippersnappers. That is a growing problem. It really is getting a bigger and bigger problem. People living on their own in isolation, no engagement. People don't say hello to you. You mentioned that. Is anyone on your arse, by the way, if you walk a dog?
Oh, good.
Paul. It's very true, isn't it? And we don't recognise things like that. We live in the southeast of England, which is one of the most congested parts of the planet and one of the richest and wealthiest and all the rest of it. But there are whole areas, Romney Marsh being one of them, that are very rural. We have no transport. There is no rural transport network.
That's a lot of Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very similar out on the marsh. It's it's just like Wexford. It could be just the same without the waterfalls. Yeah, because it's too flat. We don't have waterfalls here. There are lots of people that live in isolation out on the marsh. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I was involved in a charity in Tenston where I live, which has one day a week. They send out a bus and collect people in the area and bring them in for lunch, basically. Yeah.
So, I mean, the stat that sort of struck me when I was looking around for a charity to engage with this was that 25% of people over the age of 20, of over 55, will not talk to anybody for at least 10 days.
Wow.
Not even on the phone.
Yeah.
Huge. So anyway, we chose that charity. They're a great charity. We worked quite closely with them. We raised money for them. And again, I'll plug something else. I'm going to be plugging today. Sorry. Golf days.
Yeah.
Golf day. 26th of June. There is going to be a golf day at Lid Golf Club. If it's windy, it's going to be hell, but that's life. Mm-hmm. And we're raising money for Calm, and we're going to have a sort of, you know, breakfast to start with, round of golf, and then a meal afterwards and a bit of a raffle. So that's on the 26th of June. And I will be emailing the show in due course. Yeah. But it's worked really well, actually, the Mars Network. We're now launching workshops. So we've grown from just being a networking group. This year we've launched workshops. There's one coming up on cash flow. So the killer of most businesses, cash flow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how to manage cash flow with Excel. There's some of our members that are doing that, one, the business coach, another business coach, and an expert. We're going to be doing mental health first aid, which is a big subject. The whole, talking to the Roger DeHaan Foundation recently, they are really big, and they're quite right. Mental health in young people is a major issue.
Yep.
Becoming a major issue. But then again, look at stress in the workplace. Many small business owners are quite stressed, and they're trying to do everything, you know. And we're also going to do things like developing collaboration and partnership. We're going to do a workshop on that. So we've got a series of workshops. So that's what's going on down there in terms of the network.
You've also kind of expanded into Rye. And you've been doing some work with my good friend Jane and the team down at Space Co-working?
Yes, and Jane and I are working together. I actually do a free business clinic down there, and there's another one a week on Wednesday.
Right.
Week this Wednesday. If you want a book on that, you just go to spacecoworking.co.uk. I'll just write somewhere in there as well. Mm-hmm. And I do a free business clinic. What we're trying to do there is build the base for co-working in Rye. We're also going to look at that in New Romney. We're going to look at that as a future part development to development in New Romney. That kind of idea does not exist in that area, and Jane's launched that down there, and it seems to be doing okay. And she bought another premises across
the
road.
She has, yeah.
And it's expanding. So she's also running workshops, and I'm running the business clinics on trial to see what happens. And so far, we've had two or three people turn up just by some very basic social media, which for Rye, by the way, just outside Kent. It's across a little dotted line.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's foreign.
It's all new to me.
It's foreign. Yeah.
one of my crusades is to get people in East Sussex and across Romney Marsh in particular to engage with each other, businesses in particular.
Yeah.
You know, even the SSB, FSB have got East Sussex and Kent separated. Don't know why.
It's one of those funny unpeople things, where we tend to do things based on how they carved up local authorities. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and it's we do things because, you know, Kent County Council go, oh no, the border stops just halfway down the Appledore Road. Sorry about that, you can't go over there. And it's crazy because people until recently wouldn't have known whether they lived in Sussex or Kent, you know. I live in Tenterton, which again is right on the East Sussex border. I live closer to a lot of places in Sussex than I do to a lot of places in Kent. Why would you not? But people don't. Sussex, nah.
And the thing is, it's not a physical border, people.
No, it's not. You know,
it's a line on a map.
Yeah. And it probably isn't even a line. No. There probably isn't even a proper line there. Yeah.
One of my things I love to do, by the way, I did the Marsh Network set up mainly because I wanted to engage in business. And also, because I've moved down there, I want you to give something back. I know it sounds a bit trite, but I just love giving back. I just like trying to help and make a difference because I love doing it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just retired a long time ago and just gone and played golf and nothing else, which I will never do. Mm. So the Marsh Network is doing pretty well. It's got 159 signed up members on the Facebook page. Doesn't sound too many, but you have to come to a meeting before you can sign up. We won't let you on.
Yeah.
So if you're a dumper from somewhere, a member of 493 groups, don't even bother trying to join. You won't get approved. So we actually try and keep it managed that way, so we keep the community going. And that's the word. We're building it as a business community.
Yep.
And we're trying to build it in stages. And it did take about 5 months worth, 6 months worth of planning.
Mm.
It didn't happen on its own. It was consulting with people like Paul, thank you, and other people about the best way to do it, consulting with local businesses in the community.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And so that's fine. So we're going to raise a lot of money for Calm. So that's the Marsh Network. One of the side spin-offs of the Marsh Network is into my own small business, which is Botfield Associates, which is a business mentoring business, which I do part of the time. I only deal with about 5 or 6 clients at a time, so I'm a bit selective. And I all my business now is coming from referral through the Marsh Network and from referral from other people.
Right.
And that just shows that the model of face-to-face working actually does work.
Yeah. Absolutely. And what are the kind of things, what are the kind of tasks, what are the kind of issues that you're finding you're facing, Terry?
Well, I like stats now and then. I know you do sometimes. Mm. Last figure I saw, and you might have an updated one, 52% of small businesses in Kent don't have a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, and why if you're an entrepreneur, and there are one or two sat in the room. But if you're an entrepreneur, you don't need a business plan. You've got a good idea of where things go, and you'll measure it afterwards. That's not the majority of us.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the other stat that I don't like is that of all the startups in the last 3 or 4 years have started up in Kent, something around 2/3 never get to year 3 of trading.
Yeah, the death rate is really high. Yeah.
And when you there was something run a few years ago called Train to Go, and it was a government funded scheme, but they did some analysis after it and said that those businesses that are engaged with support, getting support from anywhere, not necessarily from a business mentor, support, getting someone to help them, getting ideas, not from the family, by the way, the worst place to go, according to Rift,
worst place to go,
according to Rift Research. Thank you, Jan.
Yeah,
the worst place to go is family. Go anywhere else. Go to a networking group. Go and ask people to give you some help. Yeah. And guess what? Those businesses had a far higher success rate of survival than the ones that didn't.
Yeah.
So the trick to me is starting with saying, have some kind of business plan. I know it sounds, and I don't mean a 74-page document.
Mm-hmm.
Start by identifying what do you want from this business and why the hell are you doing it?
Mm.
Why are you doing it? What do you want to get out of it? It's not just money. And then when you've done that, then you can start asking the questions that Pamela's been talking about. You know, what are you selling? Who are you going to sell it to?
Exactly.
I do a session called the Discovery Session. So I'll sit down for a morning with a business, old or new, and we'll go through all nine things that you should be having a business, through marketing, through who you're selling to and so on. And the thing that takes most time is when I say, what do you do?
Mm.
And people tell me all about their widget, tell me all about the colour of something, all about the fact it's got BS, whatever, whatever. And I say, no, you're not telling me. Tell me what it does for your customer.
Yeah.
What are you actually giving, getting back? What are you giving to the customer?
Yeah.
From there, you can build your website. So my biggest issue at the moment is getting people, one, to understand they need to plan.
Yeah.
And I don't mean my planning methodology is no more than five pages of grids.
Yeah.
That's it. Simple.
It's funny because you did ask me that question.
I did.
And I just realised it was actually a year ago I started planning this business and didn't go out on my own until January.
Fabulous. Yeah.
But it's slow. I'm very much I want to hit the ground running and I had to hold myself back.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it can take time. So yeah. You really need to give it a lot of thought.
This is the problem. Just to emphasise what Terry was saying, I work as an angel investor and we call most people the 3F investment plan, which is family, fools and friends. They are totally the wrong people to get business advice from because they love you. Yeah,
yes.
And they go, yeah, no, that'll be brilliant. No, you'll be brilliant at that. That's not much use. You're absolutely right. The thing is, I see so many businesses that think they've spotted a gap in the market, but they never ask themselves why there might be a gap in the market. Yeah. And I go, well, nobody does that. Yeah, could be a really good reason for that.
Yeah, very good reason. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know, and they don't think through what their market is. They don't think through who they're going to be selling to, why they're going to be selling, at what price point they're going to sell, what the competition is, what's missing, what isn't. There's not enough thought that goes into those kind of things.
As that discovery session I talked about, we covered all of those things, and basically you end up with a gap analysis, as I call it, which is what do you know and what don't you know?
Yeah.
To determine what you don't know and fill the gap, and then we start writing a business plan.
Yeah.
But the thing I find growing the most, the biggest change for me in the last 2 or 3 years is the move away from coaching to mentoring.
Yeah.
All the people I work with so far say to me, the thing I find best is you keep me focused.
Mm.
You know, you're that little man sitting on my shoulder I talk to every 4 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is.
Mm.
And I said, well, we agreed to do this last time, maybe got on. And I said, and I've actually done it. Keeping the focus on where you're going and establishing what the
priorities are. Well, you hold people accountable.
Yes, because there's no one to hold them accountable.
No.
And that's exactly been the phrase that's actually been used as well.
Mm.
And being from north of Watford, as you may not gather from the accent, but from north of Watford, I do actually can get a bit direct on occasions on the basis that I'm there to help people succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I do.
Well, honesty costs. Honesty honesty is expensive.
Well, that's it.
That's why most people don't give it to you.
Exactly. People don't need it sugarcoated when it comes to business. No. It's your livelihood.
And expensive, yeah. If I'm dealing with a middle-sized business, I do a couple of projects here with middle-sized business. I'll charge one rate. I'll be quite upfront about this because I tell businesses this is the case. If I'm dealing with SMEs or startups, that rate is nothing like that because I want to give back and I don't do it for the cash. And that sounds silly, but I don't.
No.
I don't do it for the I get one value. I want value, but, you know.
We live in a slightly different world these days and a lot of conventional business models are out of the window because so many things are free and I think Pamela mentioned it earlier about millennials and Generation Z and people like that. They've all been brought up on free. Yeah.
And it's an expectation.
Really, yeah. And their expectation, I'm not paying for that. Yeah. You know, and so we have to look at different ways of doing things and different ways of monetizing things that just aren't the way that they used to be once upon a time, you know, free. In fact, Chris Anderson, who used to be the editor of Wired magazine, he wrote a very famous book called The Long Tail, which was a bit at the start of the digital revolution. But not many people have read his second book, which is Free as a Business Model. And that's a really interesting read because, you know, there are different ways of doing things. Absolutely.
There are. So basically mentoring is the thing these days. I do some coaching, which is where you literally directly train people, but mainly it's mentoring and it seems to work for the clients. So there it is. And, you know, I don't charge the highest price in the world, but I won't charge less than a certain figure. You know, so yeah, I mean, if people want a little bit of mentoring, they can hold of me at botfieldassociates.co.uk. You know, and happy to go and sit down with anybody for a couple of hours, a cup of coffee. I might ask you to pay for the coffee. Literally have a chat about your business, what it's like, and then, you know, do you need any help? You know, how are you with it? You know, that kind of thing. Moving on quickly, the other part of my life is spent around volunteering.
Right.
And there is some a lot of relevance to business here, actually. And I volunteer for the Kent Foundation. I don't even know what that is, but it's a charity based in Maidstone, partly supported by KCC, but actually it helps young people to start up businesses or develop their businesses. And I'm working with a young man down in Hythe on a fitness business at the moment, have been for about 12 months, and he's doing very well. I am on the list and have done some Prince's Trust volunteering for online mentoring.
Right.
And that's an interesting idea, online Skype business mentoring.
Right.
Last client I had was a young lady in one part of the country in southern England who was at least 100 miles away, and we worked together for 9 months, and she's successfully launched a yoga studio. So you can do online Skype mentoring. So it doesn't always have to be face-to-face, literally.
Sure. Yeah.
And I do a few other things, but I won't go into those other bits. Marsh Academy, the other one, the big academy. I'm actually an enterprise advisor trying to get them, and I'll say it like that, trying to get them to engage properly with business and show young people what other opportunities they can.
It's really difficult getting schools to engage, isn't it? I was at the House of Commons a few weeks ago at the launch of T-Levels. If they're going to do T-Levels, they've got to you do 45 days a year in a work experience environment. You've got to engage with businesses, schools. You can't avoid it anymore.
And I'm meeting there Thursday, for example, to discuss precisely that. So, we do that. That's voluntary. And then the thing that's taking most of my life at the moment in my volunteering is an effort called the Romney Resource Centre, which is based in New Romney, and I chair the Board of Trustees there. And what they do is its core operation is around young people, and young people between the age of 15 to 18, then on to 24. And they're young people that have challenges in all sorts of ways. It could be their social background, it could be the way it is. They're people who generally school will not fit them anymore.
Sure.
The fact that one.
If it fitted them at all in the first place.
If it did in the first place.
And there begins the conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can go on all day about why they are, but they are where they are.
Yeah.
And we tend to try and catch them before they disappear altogether, because a lot of these people disappear out the net altogether. And in fact, they do actually disappear. And there's been a big thing about that recently. So, and we have a definition as what's called a specialist provider. So we're in a special category provision for those young people. What we try and do with them, what we do with them, a great record, by the way, they do very well down there, is we grow their hope and aspirations, and that's really good. We boost their confidence, because a lot of these youngsters come along lacking in confidence.
Sure.
And then we give them the adequate skills to go and face the big world out there. And that's basically what we do. It's government-funded, that part of the business, but it isn't enough. It isn't funded to the level it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a political comment, it's the way it is.
It never is it? Yeah. There's never enough money.
So, you know, we actually are continuing to look for sponsors, for supporters and things like that, and I'll come back to that in a second. We also deal down there with people, say, from the age of about 18 through to about 35, who, again, are either not engaged and not at work, or they're only half and part. On the Romney Marsh, you've got a lot of people who work part-time through the seasonal, it's holiday area. The rest of the time, they don't bother to register unemployed. And so, basically, they just hang around a bit, you know, and do some odd jobs and from some disappear into the black economy, which is fine if that's what they want to do, no issue. But we also now starting to want to provide a platform for those people to upskill. And we do that at the basic level by providing courses on things like first aid training, on things like other things like that, health and safety, so they can go and engage with the sectors. Yeah. So we do that. And we also have a business centre. And that business centre has some office space. We've got a few businesses in there. And we also have a conference centre down there. So broadly, that's what we are. But the future is about something called a skills hub. And the board's put a new strategy in place and basically saying within 2 years, we will put in place a skills hub to enable the whole community from the age of 7 to the age of death to actually have an opportunity to engage in whatever they want to engage in, whether it be leisure learning, whether it be lifelong learning, just get together. In the case of an older person, at the younger end of the spectrum, show them what vocational opportunities, and actually give them the chance to go and learn construction skills or whatever, but actually on Romney Marsh.
Right.
Enabled by a mix of digital, which we've currently put bids in for, which is making the centre digitally enabled. And so you can say to a college, if you're listening, Graham, you could say to a college, you know, we will give you all the direct, you can do all your direct delivery from Folkestone, from Thanet, don't care where you want to deliver it from. You can do all the lessons online. You can video do it all. Yeah. And then we will provide the cover down there and then just send your assessors down. So the big idea is to build that skills up. Finally, what are we looking for from that? We're looking for sponsors because we always need money as a charity. We're looking for donations. Anybody wants to donate? Anybody want to donate a couple of million quid to put a new building up for a skills hub?
I left my wallet at home. Yeah.
Okay, that's one level.
Give me the money, Bernard. I'll pay you back later.
At the other level, we have a scheme which our CEO, Chris Pollard, who some people might know, has put together. But for 10 quid a month, you can actually get your logo and link to your website on our sponsors.
I'm a member of that.
Dobbs and Kent are a member.
Yeah.
As is the Ashford Designer Outlet. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah.
As are a number of other big businesses. But anybody at all, 10 quid a month, you can get your name on there as a supporter and basically link to your website. And we're trying to build that community of support. Yeah. That's at one level. And it's at the other level. Seriously, I have spoken to one or two people asking for 2 million quid.
Yeah.
And it's everything in between.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough on that for the time. I'll just take a halt there. But that by the way, website, Romney,
www.worldwideweb.
Romney-resourcecentre.co.uk.
Fantastic.
I'll be the best of us.
Yeah, Terry, thank you so much for that. Do check that out. They're doing lots of interesting stuff down there on the marsh. It is an area that's got a lot going for it, and there's a lot of talent there. One of the problems, and this is just me having a rant here, because I just find this absolutely bizarrely stupid, and every week on this show I tell you the same statistic. We have 830,000 unfilled full-time jobs in the United Kingdom. In Ashford, just 12 miles from the Romney Marsh, we can't find enough people to work. And then there's loads of unemployed people on the marsh because they can't get to Ashford, which is 12 miles away because there's no blooming public transport of any kind. Yeah, go on.
If I can comment on that, I'm actually on a group under something called the Romney Marsh Partnership, which is working on addressing that issue. And there's a feasibility study at the moment going on to look at putting a bus on between the Romney Marsh and the station, or as well, a regular bus from Romney Marsh up to the outlet centre.
Yeah.
And into the town. That's been looked at. Hasn't happened yet, though. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And it really should happen because it's stupid otherwise. But all power to you, Terry. Thank you so much for that. We're kind of approaching towards the end of the show. Mm. We've got a few things that we need to talk about.
Go on then.
I'm going to talk about the Tech Expo. The Tech Expo is taking place on the 26th of September from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Clive Empson Suite. That's at the Kent Event Centre at Detling. And it's the first ever event of its kind in the southeast of England. It's a full-day exhibition for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can help them run, build and grow their business using the power of digital technology. Meet with over 100 suppliers from different sectors of technology, including IT support, cybersecurity, software, digital marketing and online accountancy and software as a service. Hear from 5 fantastic speakers or take part in 5 interactive workshops. The speakers include Brian Sutton from Microsoft, talking about how Microsoft is developing to help small businesses. Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of 10 Intelligence, talking about cybersecurity. Ben Abbott, who's the CEO of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology. One of the things that Ben talks about is the use in marketing of things like Alexa. Yeah, and Siri and other voice-activated systems. Will Charlesworth from Cripps Law, who's talking about digital law and IP.
and all things around digital law, which is an interesting field.
Yeah, it's,
because it's, a lot of it is...
not catching up fast really.
Yeah. Absolutely. A lot of it's just going to court and seeing what happens.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's also, and this is an interesting one for a technology conference, Bill Burton from the Dale Carnegie Organization, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he's talking about being human in a digital world.
Fantastic.
There's also workshops, Google partner Amy McManus of AM Marketing, keeping your business ahead in a digital marketing game. Aaron Taylor, who's the CEO of 62 Technology, stop the sales pitch, start the conversation. Mike Hacker, commonly known to all of us as Hacks, who's the CEO of Prisma Broadcast, how to the proper use of video can propel your business forward. The lovely Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, having an adaptable content strategy plan. And Claire Derbyshire, who's from LinkedIn, and she's going to be talking about using LinkedIn for your business. It's a free to attend event. And you can book your tickets at techexpouk.com.
Oh, that sounds so interesting. That's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll keep that one in my diary.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So we'll see you there, 26th of September. Fantastic. Have you got anything? That
I
you
have.
Yeah.
You're invited to attend MBA lecture on strategic leadership in the era of digital transformation on the 8th of May at Kent Business School, University of Kent in Canterbury. And the details and book here are www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. I go to these every time. Two things. The information you receive is thought-provoking. And secondly, you need to be there to see who's in the room, because there's some really different people in the room.
Yep. University of Kent Business School doing a number of what they call business soundbite events. You can find them all listed on the Kent Business Radio website under kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. We list them all there, and we keep listing them there as they announce them. They're all free to attend, and they take place either in Canterbury or Medway. And in a couple of weeks' time, we actually have someone from the Kent Business School that's going to be coming on talking about all of their soundbite events.
Well, what I love about academia is we can all disagree and have a really open and honest conversation. And you listen, you respect what I'm saying. You don't have to agree with me, which is wonderful, because that's where I learn.
Yep.
And then let's just move on. And that's why I love going to these academic places. It's not personal. I'm just going to give you, this is what I believe to be true, and they can go, no.
Well,
all discuss it amongst themselves.
Absolutely. I chaired a summit roundtable at the University of Kent at the beginning of the year in January, and I chaired a roundtable on diversity and equality and skills. And we had a rip-roaring discussion about it, and the university were really brilliant. They just produced a report based on what everybody said.
Exactly.
They didn't try and tell you whether you were right, wrong, or indifferent. They produced a report saying, this is what the people said. What do you think?
Yeah.
Really fascinating and insightful report.
Very good.
But what I love is that even the lecturers, the professionals there, the professors will all disagree, even on the same topic that they're all presenting on, which I want to see.
Yeah.
I don't think you and I don't agree on so many things.
No, absolutely, because you're always talking nonsense.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
So we got joined at Jade Pluck for Business Events 1, LinkedIn for Business Master. Oh, she's done it again. She's got in.
Right.
It's today. Forget about that.
All right, now you...
Digital Marketing Strategy Masterclass with David Shaw on the 14th of May, and that's at the Village Hotel in Maidstone. Advanced Social Media Masterclass with Alistair Frost on the... That's gone. And then that's it. You needed to cross that, mate.
Yeah. Well, you can do that.
Yeah, I did.
I'll lend you my pen.
Awesome. So where do we go and look for that?
What?
This. www.worldwideweb. Businessradio.co.uk. That's where we look, Mr. Andrews.
Yeah, on the...
/business.
The business events. Yeah, there's a tab on the website that says business events, and you click on there and they're all there.
Did you know that we're on it today?
We're on it?
We're on it. Apparently we're on form today.
Are we?
Yep.
There's a gif of Ronnie Corbett.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's you.
Is it? Yeah. Nice one. You wanted to raise something with me earlier, you said. We got 5 minutes to do it.
Oh, my days. Okay, so this was the quick mastermind thing. So this is a real quick one to see what each of you, as experts in your field. So is there one piece of wisdom that you would share with somebody that people go, tell me how you were successful, and nobody ever does it?
Oh, yeah.
Go on then. Just one that you go, if only businesses would do this, but everybody goes, oh, awesome, and they don't even do it.
Oh, well, you kind of changed the question a bit there.
Well, it's the same.
Yeah. there's lots of things that businesses don't do that they really need to do. The biggest one of which is to manage their finances. Yeah. You know, to look at their cash flow, to look at what they're owed, to collect the money that they've invoiced, to see whether their clients are worth the value that they put into their clients. I've seen so many businesses that have a big client, that causes them a load of grief, but they don't make any money out of it. Yeah. And you go, why are you doing that? Sack them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sack them. Sack a client.
That's already been one of my pitfalls, actually. Have to say that as early as I am into this, I completely agree.
But for me, the biggest piece of advice that I give to people when people say to me, how can I do this, that, or the other, is start. Just start. Do something.
Yeah.
You know, stop. Analysis paralysis is one of the worst things that you can ever have, where people want to get it 100% perfect before they do anything. Don't. Just start. Just do something and see what happens, and then do something else, and then modify what you're doing based on the feedback that you get.
Pamela?
Yes, I would say, I had it there in my head, I was listening to your podcast.
She's going, that's nonsense.
My thought process, and I had fun going, this is what I've learned. I'm not in this long, so I can't give a great deal of advice as the lovely people around me who, and that's absolutely probably the advice I would give. Take any advice where it comes from, and as Paul said, not family or friends, as lovely as they are. Networking is fantastic for a new business, not for the sales point of view. You don't usually get direct clients that way. But for the business advice that I've gathered from people, want to help you. They actually do. And people have all been there. Other businesses have started and will give you advice. And it's not to insult you. Take it with a pinch of salt too, because you could be a different direction to these people's business. But business models haven't changed that much, so take the advice from people. That's everything.
Well, something I learnt centuries ago, which was about selling, and people like talking themselves and don't like listening to other people. So one of the biggest single skills you can have in selling, or indeed in business, developing your business, is put up, shut up, and listen.
Was he finished speaking?
I didn't want to say anything.
Can't say anything to that, can you? No, it's absolutely true. Yeah. It's absolutely true. You know, listening to what people say is a fantastic source of information. You know, quite often, I mean, we're worse at it because we gob off for a living. But, you know, if you keep talking all the time, you're not hearing what's going on and you're not getting feedback. And it actually doesn't matter what people say. All of it's feedback.
Yeah.
Because you get to understand people's thinking by listening to what they're saying.
So why don't people take your advice? Why aren't people wanting to do the advice? Because they're asking you for it. Why aren't they doing it?
Because it's not what they want to hear.
No.
They want a magic formula. It's what, don't get me started on this because we've only got 2 minutes left, but it's why there's so many things in society that are about quick fixes. You know, if only you got your chakras in the right line, if only you use, you know, the
one. I never thought I'd hear you say the word chakra.
Really?
So that's hilarious.
Is that chocolate?
Yeah, exactly. Never saw it.
There's all these, you know, what do they call it? Asking the universe stuff and all that nonsense. That's all stuff that says I don't have to do anything. If I say the magic words, if I say abracadabra, I'm going to be successful. And for 200,000 years, humans have behaved like that, and it has never worked once, not ever, not once.
Can I jump in on that one?
Yeah, go for it.
It's also something that lucky people say, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, you have to work hard too. Yeah, there's some aspect of luck sometimes, or things falling in place. But you have to work really, really hard.
Yeah.
It doesn't really exist.
No, and it's working really hard is absolutely essential. Couldn't agree more. It doesn't fall off the shelf.
No.
But working hard in a particular direction and making sure your activities are aligned to where you want to get to
is what
makes your effort really pay off, rather than just firing mud at the wall.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. But you're right. You know, the trouble is we listen to people retrospectively. Yeah, so you get lots of successful people come along and make it sound really easy. You know,
oh,
I did this, I did that, I made $1 million and da 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 da. But that's not how actually happened in reality.
No.
They've just short circuited what they were telling you.
Yeah, true.
You know, it's one of those things, isn't it? But cool, good question, Bird. Good question.
Thank you.
Have you got an answer?
For Have I got an answer?
Yeah, have you got a thing?
Do the work.
Yeah.
And that's it. With everything.
Yeah.
And I'm the same with you. People say, oh, it's all right for you. And I look at them and go, Yeah, that face, my other half says, close your mouth, dear. Because it's just like, you know, and it's true. So you have to do the work. Regardless, confidence doesn't come. It comes from doing the work.
Yeah.
And that's it.
People, you know, it's my problem with planning, where you get planning paralysis. Once you've got a plan, execute it.
Go do it.
The plan won't work on its own. You've got to actually do it.
Which is why a plan has to have deadlines, timelines, people responsible, and very clear where you're going to get to by. Yeah,
absolutely.
And it needs a man at the end of that plan, like you, Terry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See what I've done there for you. That's 50 quid, thanks very much.
Top mentoring, Bird. Well done. Well done, Bird. Right, we're at the end of another show. I need to tell you about our sister show on Friday, the Business Bunker Extra Show with the lovely Amanda. This week, Amanda's co-host is Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law. And their guest is Richard Archer, who's the commercial manager at Buckland Media. And they're going to be talking about the future of print.
Oh.
Interesting topic. So that's the Business Bunker Extra Show this Friday at 11 a.m. here on channelradio.co.uk/2 or on bizradio.co.uk with Amanda and Gemma talking to Richard Archer of Buckland Media about the future of print. So do check in with that. Do have a listen to that. But we've reached the end of another show.
Yeah,
thank you so much for that. It was lovely to hear from you. We have two fabulous guests, the lovely Pamela Angley from Angley Digital Media. Thank you so much.
And
the equally lovely Terry Botti, TD Botti, from Everywhere on the Marsh, from Marsh Networking.
From the desert.
Romney Resource Centre. The Desert Rat. Yeah, that's what we've
got.
Yeah.
I'm sure about the rat bit.
And Botfield Associates. So do check all of them out. All of their links are on the Kent Business Radio website. But thank you for joining us for another Business Bunker show. We'll be back next week with our next Bunker show and another great lineup of guests. Big thank you to my co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike,
Sarah Ann Lucas.
Thank you so much. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.